Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The liturgical scripture readings for the first Sunday of Advent. A reading from the book of Isaiah. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm, "Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord."
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
I rejoiced because they said to me, "We will go up to the house of the Lord." And now we have set foot within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Jerusalem, built as a city with compact unity, to it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
According to the decree for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, in it are set up judgment seats, seats for the house of David.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May peace be within your walls, prosperity in your buildings.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.
Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you." Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will pray for your good.
Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you must also be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Kevin, we are here the first Sunday of Advent.
Already?
Already.
Year A already. Holy cow.
Unbelievable, yeah. So, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to this, but Advent is a season. And when we keep a good Advent, we will have a more blessed Christmas season because we will be better prepared. And yes, Advent season and Christmas season are two different seasons. And you know, you think about it with preparation. Everything that's important, every important occasion deserves proper preparation. A wedding, what? It takes about a year of advance preparation. High school graduation, that's months and months of preparation, and the birth of a child. That changes how a person eats, you know, what kind of vitamins and supplements they need to take, what kind of exercise they get, and education they have to learn about being new parents. But sadly, most of the world just jumps right from Thanksgiving into Christmas, and they completely eliminate the solemn time of preparation that Advent offers. Adopting a new practice, even something as simple as lighting an Advent wreath to mark the weeks of Advent, can do a lot for keeping our hearts and minds focused on the preparation aspect. For other ideas and to find new ways to keep a blessed Advent season, just Google Catholic Advent and you'll be surprised by the number of links that you find. You know, you can enter into, you know, find some online retreats and videos and suggested Advent readings and activities, and even our own parishes. They might even have events planned that keep us connected. And anyway, so that's the most important thing, I think, is to remember that Advent is a season of preparation, not celebration.
Yes. Yeah. You really hit that point really well. And I think you were generous about saying that we skip over Thanksgiving because there's been Christmas decorations in stores since like before Halloween.
It's like Halloween is now a season? What?
That's right. Don't fall into the secular trap, folks. We are just preparing. Right. Yeah. That's what we're doing right now. And in fact, there are really three ways we can prepare ourselves. We can prepare ourselves worthily to celebrate the anniversary of the Lord's coming into the world as the incarnate God of love. We need to make our souls fitting abodes for the Redeemer coming in Holy Communion, and also make ourselves ready as his final coming as judge at death and at the end of the world. That's how we need to prepare during this season, and how important that is. Don't get caught up in all the hype and celebration, and the day after Christmas things are out at the sidewalk, right? No, this is a season of preparation to quietly prepare ourselves for that celebration of the Nativity.
Christmas Eve is just the beginning of the Christmas season, but until then, from now on, it's Advent.
And we'll talk about that for the next several weeks, won't we?
Yes, we will.
Well, let's today talk about our first reading here, the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah, so in this chapter of Isaiah, the prophecy presents an image of peace and a return to God, and he presents a message of hope to the fallen nations, the chosen people who forfeited their inheritance for a life of sin and debauchery. We too are God's chosen people, having entered into the new covenant of baptism, and we too have fallen into the captivity of sin. Those who are fortunate enough frequent the sacrament of reconciliation and repent from sin and receive God's mercy and forgiveness. You know, the last line of this passage says, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And this is the mindset with which we should be beginning our Advent journey, to make a conscious effort to look for the light of Christ that is still present around us and to bring that light to others who so desperately need it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that light of Christ. Remember, Jesus brought his words, his actions. He brought many mighty works. He brought wonders. He brought signs. They all ask us to invite belief in him. And yet when he came, he also chose to free some individuals from earthly evils, such things as hunger or injustice or illness or death. And he performed messianic signs. But as the Catechism says in paragraph 549, he did not come to abolish all evils here below, but to free men from the greatest slavery, sin. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes hard to reconcile with. Well, if that is true, it says here at the end of Isaiah, they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not rise sword against another. And I think the important thing to remember here is this Isaiah prophecy was not coming true at the incarnation. it's coming true at the second coming. And this is a little note from Monsignor Sweatland, and he wrote this about this final end times and this peace that will come. It says, finally, peace will come at the end of time when Christ establishes once and for all the kingdom. This is the eschatological peace of the end times when all things will be renewed in Christ and every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. That's when we will see the beautiful fulfillment, the definitive fulfillment of what Isaiah brings today.
Yeah.
In our second reading today, we hear from the letter of Paul to the Romans.
You know, St. Paul tells us to wake up and pay attention, to throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And he goes on to say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, what do those words really mean? And how do we go about this in a practical sense? So I'm going to tell a story that I think gets to the point that St. Paul is trying to make. So there was an old priest who taught by asking questions. And one day he asked his students, how can a person tell when the darkness ends and the day begins? After thinking for a moment, one student replied, it is when there is enough light to see an animal in the distance and be able to tell if it's a sheep or a goat. Another student said, it's when there's enough light to see a tree and tell if it's a fig tree or an oak tree. And the old priest gently responded, no, it's when you can look into a man's face and recognize him as your brother. For if you cannot recognize in another's face the face of your brother, the darkness has not yet begun to lift, and the light has not yet come. So the armor of light that St. Paul's talking about is the grace of God that illuminates our hearts and our minds and allows us to walk the path of godly righteousness.
Yeah, you bring that up, and I think about being able to see that face of your brother, the face of your sister, to be able to look at them with Christ-like gaze. Now, of course, I want to talk about the last line here about make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Well, that, quite frankly, for men is a lifelong journey. And so I want to speak to that just briefly about how to walk in that godly righteousness from a manly perspective. But I think this can apply to women as well. And God gives us these passions which are true, which should be used for something beautiful. That's how we create families and have the wonderful gift that God gives us to be able to co-create. But I think the challenge here is to not look at that from the carnal perspective and instead of stuffing it down, to be able to surrender that to the Holy Spirit. Let me give you just one line here from Galatians 5:17. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's conforming ourselves to the Holy Spirit to be able to see people and to be able to follow that godly righteousness. Well, our gospel today, we see that one will be taken and one will be left, and we do not know when that will happen. Well, let me give you a quote from St. John Chrysostom here. When you do not expect it, he will come, because he wants them to be anxiously waiting and constantly engaged in virtuous practice. What he means is something like this. If the generality of men knew when they were going to die, they would strive earnestly only at that hour.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREI radio.com.